July 9th. Our reading in the Old Testament today will be from the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 7, verse 1. We'll go through chapter 8, verse 40. And there are some other long lists here. These verses list Shaharaim's children by Hodesh, after he had divorced, that is, sent away his first two wives, Hushim and Beara. Divorce and polygamy are sometimes recorded in the Old Testament without critical comments. This does not mean that God takes divorce lightly. Over in Malachi, he says, "Let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth, for the Lord, the God of Israel, says that he hates putting away," that is, he hates divorce. Jesus explained that although divorce was allowed, it was not God's will. "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts," he said, "suffered you to put away your wives, but from the beginning it was not so." So don't assume that God approves of an act because it isn't vigorously condemned in every related scriptural reference. Then we'll see that Saul, Israel's first king, lived an inconsistent life. His story is found, of course, in 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 31, and his profile on further in Samuel 13. Saul's son Jonathan stood in bold contrast to his father. Although he was the rightful heir to the throne, Jonathan realized that David was God's choice to be Israel's next king. Instead of being jealous, Jonathan was David's friend and even helped him escape from Saul's attempts at murder. And with that, let's begin our reading today here in the Old Testament. 1 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 1, through chapter 8, verse 40. The four sons of Issachar were Tola, Pua, Jashub, and Shimron. The sons of Tola were Uzi, Rephaiah, Jeriel, Jamai, Ibsam, and Shemuel. Each of them was the leader of an ancestral clan. At the time of King David, the total number of men available for military service from these families was 22,600. The son of Uzai was Izrahiah. The sons of Izrahiah were Michael, Obadiah, Joel, and Ishiah. These five became the leaders of clans. All of them had many wives and many sons, so the total number of men available for military service among their descendants was 36,000. The total number of mighty warriors from all the clans of the tribe of Issachar was 87,000. All of them were listed in their genealogical records. Three of Benjamin's sons were Bela, Beker, and Jediel. The sons of Bela were Ezbon, Uzai, Uzael, Jeremoth, and Eri. These five warriors were the leaders of clans. The total number of men available for military service among their descendants was 22,034. All of them were listed in their family genealogy. The sons of Beker were Zemira, Joash, Eleazar, Eliuenai, Amri, Jeremoth, Abijah, Anathoth, and Alemeth. According to their family genealogy, there were 20,200 men available for military service among their descendants, in addition to their clan leaders. The son of Jediel was Bilhan. The sons of Bilhan were Jeush, Benjamin, Ehud, Kinaana, Zithan, Tarshish, and Ahishahar. They were the leaders of the clans of Jediel, and their descendants included 17,200 men available for military service. The sons of Ur were Shupim and Hupim. Hushim was the son of Aher. The sons of Naphtali were Jaziel, Gunai, Jezer, and Shillem. They were all descendants of Jacob's concubine Bilhah. The descendants of Manasseh, through his Aramean concubine, included Azrael. She also bore Machir, the father of Gilead. Machir found wives for Hupim and Shupim. Machir had a sister named Maakah. One of his descendants was Zelophehad, who had only daughters. Machir's wife, Maakah, gave birth to a son, whom she named Piresh. His brother's name was Sheresh. The sons of Piresh were Ulam and Rakim. The son of Ulam was Badan. All these were considered Gileadites, descendants of Machir, son of Manasseh. Machir's sister, Hamolekith, gave birth to Ishhad, Abiezer, and Mahla. The sons of Shemida were Ahayan, Shechem, Likai, and Anayim. The descendants of Ephraim were Shuthalah, Bered, Tehath, Eliada, Tehath, Zabad, and Shuthalah. Ephraim's sons, Ezer and Iliad, were killed trying to steal livestock from the local farmers near Gath. Their father Ephraim mourned for them a long time, and his relatives came to comfort him. Afterward, Ephraim slept with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. Ephraim named him Beriah because of the tragedy his family had suffered. Ephraim had a daughter named Shirah. She built the towns of Lower and Upper Beth-horon and Uzen-Shirah. Ephraim's line of descent was Riphah, Resheph, Telah, Tehan, Ledan, Amuhud, Elishama, Nun, and Joshua. The descendants of Ephraim lived in the territory that included Bethel and its surrounding towns to the south, Naaran to the east, Gezer and its villages to the west, and Shechem and its surrounding villages to the north, as far as Ayah and its towns. Along the border of Manasseh were the towns of Bethshan, Taanach, Megiddo, Dor, and their surrounding villages. The descendants of Joseph, son of Israel, lived in these towns. The sons of Asher were Imnah, Ishvah, Ishvai, and Beriah. They had a sister named Sirah. The sons of Beriah were Heber and Malkiel, the father of Birzaith. The sons of Heber were Japhlet, Shomer, and Hotham. They had a sister named Shua. The sons of Japhlet were Pasek, Bimhal, and Ashvath. The sons of Shomer were Ahai, Rogah, Hubah, and Aram. The sons of his brother Helam were Zophah, Imnah, Shelesh, and Amel. The sons of Zophah were Suha, Harnifer, Shuel, Berai, Imrah, Bezer, Hod, Shema, Shilshah, Ithran, and Bera. The sons of Jether were Jephunah, Pisba, and Ara. The sons of Ula were Ara, Hanael, and Riziah. Each of these descendants of Asher was the head of an ancestral clan. They were all select men, mighty warriors, and outstanding leaders. The total number of men available for military service was 26,000, as listed in their genealogical records. The sons of Benjamin, in order of age, included Bela, the oldest, Ashbel, Ahara, Noha, and Rapha. The sons of Bela were Adar, Gera, Abihud, Abishua, Naaman, Ahoa, Gera, Safufan, and Huram. The sons of Ehud, leaders of the clans living at Geba, were driven out and moved to Manahath. Ehud's sons were Naaman, Ahijah, and Gera. Gera, the father of Uzzah and Ahihud, led them when they moved. Afterwards, Shaharaim divorced his wives, Husham and Baara. He had children in the land of Moab. Hodesh, his new wife, gave birth to Jobab, Zibiah, Misha, Malcham, Jeuz, Zakiah, and Mirma. These sons all became the leaders of clans. Shaharaim's wife, Husham, had already given birth to Abitub and Elpael. The sons of Elpael were Eber, Misham, Shemed, who built Ono and Lod and their villages, Beriah and Shema. They were the leaders of the clans living in Aijalon, and they drove out the inhabitants of Gath. Ahio, Sheshach, Jeremoth, Zebediah, Arad, Eder, Michael, Ishpa, and Joha were the sons of Beriah. Zebediah, Meshulam, Hizkai, Heber, Ishmerai, Isliah, and Jobab were the sons of Elpael. Jakim, Zikri, Zabde, Elienai, Zilithai, Eliel, Adaiah, Beraiah, and Shimrath were the sons of Shimei. Ishpan, Eber, Eliel, Abdon, Zikri, Hanan, Hananiah, Elam,
Anthohijah, Iphdai, and Penuel were the sons of Sheshach. Shamshirai, Shehariah, Athaliah, Jeharashiah, Elijah, and Zikri were the sons of Jeroam. These were the leaders of the ancestral clans. They were listed in their genealogical records, and they all lived in Jerusalem. Jeiel, the father of Gibeon, lived in Gibeon. His wife's name was Maakah, and his oldest son was named Abdon. Jeiel's other sons were Zur, Kish, Baal, Ner, Nadab, Gidor, Aio, Zechariah, and Migloth, who was the father of Shimeam. All these families lived near each other in Jerusalem. Ner was the father of Kish. Kish was the father of Saul. Saul was the father of Jonathan, Malchishua, Abinadab, and Eshbaal. Jonathan was the father of Meribbaal. Meribbaal was the father of Micah. Micah was the father of Pithon, Melech, Tariah, and Ahaz. Ahaz was the father of Jada. Jada was the father of Elimeth, Asmaveth, and Zimri. Zimri was the father of Moza. Moza was the father of Benaiah. Benaiah was the father of Rephaiah. Rephaiah was the father of Eleasa. Eleasa was the father of Azel. Azel had six sons: Azrakim, Bokeru, Ishmael, Sheraiah, Obadiah, and Hanan. These were the sons of Azel. Azel's brother, Eshek, had three sons: Ulam, the oldest, Jeush, the second, and Eliphelet, the third. The sons of Ulam were all skilled warriors and expert archers. They had many sons and grandsons, 150 in all. All these were descendants of Benjamin.
As we look into the reading of the New Testament today, it will come from the book of Acts, chapter 27, verses 1 through 20. We'll see that the use of the pronoun we indicates that Luke accompanied Paul on this journey that we'll be reading about. Julius, a hardened Roman centurion, was assigned to guard Paul. Obviously, he had to remain close to Paul at all times. Through this contact, Julius developed a respect for Paul, giving him freedom, and later saving his life. How would your character look, up close and personal? I mean, if you were chained to a guard, over time, what would that guard know about you? And finally, as we read in this passage of Scripture, we'll see that although this was not the best time to sail, the master of the ship didn't want to spend the winter in Lasea, and so he took a chance. At first, the winds and weather were favorable, but then the deadly storm arose. Well, let's read all about it now here in the New Testament.
July 9th, the New Testament, Acts chapter 27, verses 1 through 20. When the time came, we, Luke, Paul, and his companions, set sail for Italy. Paul and several other prisoners were placed in the custody of a Roman officer named Julius, a captain of the imperial regiment. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was also with us. We left on a ship whose home port was Adramyttium, on the northwest coast of the province of Asia. It was scheduled to make several stops at ports along the coast of the province. The next day, when we docked at Sidon, Julius was very kind to Paul and let him go ashore to visit with friends so they could provide for his needs. Putting out to sea from there, we encountered strong headwinds that made it difficult to keep the ship on course, so we sailed north of Cyprus between the island and the mainland. Keeping to the open sea, we passed along the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, landing at Myra in the province of Lycia. There the commanding officer found an Egyptian ship from Alexandria that was bound for Italy, so he put us on board. We had several days of slow sailing, and after great difficulty, we finally neared Cnidus, but the wind was against us. So we sailed across to Crete and along the sheltered coast of the island, past the Cape of Salmone. We struggled along the coast with great difficulty, and finally arrived at Fair Havens, near the town of Lasea. We had lost a lot of time.
The weather was becoming dangerous for sea travel because it was so late in the fall, and Paul spoke to the ship's officers about it. "Men," he said, "I believe there is trouble ahead if we go on. Shipwreck, loss of cargo, and danger to our lives as well." But the officer in charge of the prisoners listened more to the ship's captain and the owner than to Paul, and since Fair Havens was an exposed harbor, a poor place to spend the winter, most of the crew wanted to go on to Phoenix, farther up the coast of Crete, and spend the winter there. Phoenix was a good harbor, with only a southwest and northwest exposure. When a light wind began blowing from the south, the sailors thought they could make it, so they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shore of Crete. But the weather changed abruptly, and a wind of typhoon strength, called a northeaster, burst across the island and blew us out to sea. The sailors couldn't turn the ship into the wind, so they gave up and let it run before the gale. We sailed along the sheltered side of a small island named Cauda, where with great difficulty we hoisted aboard the lifeboat being towed behind us. Then the sailors bound ropes around the hull of the ship to strengthen it. They were afraid of being driven across to the sandbars of Syrtis off the African coast, so they lowered the sea anchor to slow the ship and were driven before the wind. The next day, as gale force winds continued to batter the ship, the crew began throwing the cargo overboard. The following day, they even took some of the ship's gear and threw it overboard. The terrible storm raged for many days, blotting out the sun and the stars, until at last all hope was gone. Our reading in Psalms today comes from Psalm chapter 7, verses 1 through 17. Have you ever been falsely accused or badly hurt and wanted revenge? Well, David wrote this psalm in response to the slanderous accusations of those who claimed he was trying to kill Saul and seize the throne. Instead of taking matters into his own hands and striking back, David cried out to God for justice. You see, the proper response to slander is prayer, not revenge, because God says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." Instead of striking back, ask God to take your case, bring justice, and restore your reputation. The hearts and reins that we'll read about here in this passage, literally kidneys, means the deepest thoughts and feelings. See, nothing is hidden from God. This can be either terrifying or comforting. Our thoughts are an open door to Him because He knows even our motives. We have no place to hide, nobody to pretend that we can get away with sin. But that very knowledge also gives us great comfort. We don't have to impress God or put up any kind of a front. Instead, we can trust God to help us work through our particular weaknesses in order to serve Him as He's planned. If we truly follow Him, God rewards our effort. We'll see that when evil gets the upper hand, life is unfair. We know that God's justice will ultimately prevail. But not all of God's justice is postponed to the future. He is angry with the wicked every day and often punishes them and rescues the innocent in this life. We must never give up our faith in Him. Psalm chapter 7, verses 1 through 17, a psalm of David, which he sang to the Lord concerning Cush of the tribe of Benjamin. I came to you for protection, O Lord my God. Save me from my persecutors, rescue me. If you don't, they will maul me like a lion, tearing me to pieces with no one to rescue me. O Lord my God, if I have done wrong or am guilty of injustice, if I have betrayed a friend or plundered my enemy without cause, then let my enemies capture me. Let them trample me into the ground and drag my honor in the dust. Interlude. Arise, O Lord, in anger. Stand up against the fury of my enemies. Wake up, my God, and bring justice. Gather the nations before you. Rule over them from on high. The Lord judges the nations. Declare me righteous, O Lord, for I am innocent, O Most High. End the evil of those who are wicked and defend the righteous, for you look deep within the mind and heart, O righteous God. God is my shield, saving those whose hearts are true and right. God is an honest judge. He is angry with the wicked every day. If a person does not repent, God will sharpen his sword. He will bend and string his bow. He will prepare his deadly weapons and shoot his flaming arrows. The wicked conceive evil. They are pregnant with trouble and give birth to lies. They dig a deep pit to trap others, then fall into it themselves. The trouble they make for others backfires on them. The violence they plan falls on their own heads. I will thank the Lord because he is just. I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. Proverbs 18, verse 22. The man who finds a wife finds a treasure, and he receives favor from the Lord.